Open in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'm going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 12 through 23. Hear now the reading of God's holy and inspired word. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection from the dead? But if there's no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. And those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. Our Lord God in heaven, we thank you for your word. And Lord, if this was all we heard this morning, it would be enough. And we pray, Lord God, that you, by your Holy Spirit, would work this word into our minds and into our hearts, to assure us of the truth of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to increase our faith in him, to grant us a steadfast and unshakable hope in our Lord and Savior. And we pray, Lord God, that you would bless us today, that we would see your glory, and that we would see your Son, and that you would minister your goodness to us. And we pray that you would use this jar of clay for your glory's sake. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Well, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is a fundamental tenet of the Christian faith. It is an essential component to what we believe, and as the Apostle Paul says, if it were not true, our faith would be in vain. We would have no hope in this life or in the life to come. And in fact, the only reason we do have hope is because Jesus was raised from the dead and the Holy Spirit has convinced us of this truth. He has told it to us in his word and has made it firm in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And the only way you as a human being in this world can have hope in this life and in the life to come is if you know and love and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. There are so many great blessings and benefits that come from our Savior because of who he is and what he has done. Benefits we experience in this life, benefits we experience in our deaths, but also benefits we experience in the day of resurrection because of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There was a group of pastors who considered the benefits that we would receive from Christ at the day of resurrection. These pastors lived in the 1600s, and they asked the question this way. They said, what benefits do believers receive from Christ at the resurrection? Now, this is the resurrection at the last day, and of course, this is all predicated on the fact that Christ is risen from the dead. And the answer they gave to that question is that at the resurrection, believers being raised up in glory shall be openly acknowledged and acquitted in the day of judgment and made perfectly blessed in the full enjoying of God to all eternity. And this morning, I want to consider those benefits that we receive from Christ at the resurrection because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And my main hope for you this morning, the main point I want you to have this morning, is for you to hope in the grace of Christ in the resurrection. Hope for the grace of Christ in the resurrection. And the first thing that we need to see here is that you will be raised up in glory if you have placed your faith in the risen Jesus Christ. The resurrection of the dead is the great Christian hope, the glorious hope that our physical bodies, which are laid in the grave and rot away, will one day rise again to stand upon the earth. And this was a hope not just held by New Testament saints, but this was a hope held by even those Old Testament saints. Job declares in chapter 19 of the book bearing his name, he says, "For I know that my Redeemer lives. He shall stand at last on the earth. And after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God." And King David, speaking about the Christ who was to come, writes in Psalm 16, "For you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption." The Old Testament saints believed in the resurrection. Jesus grants us this hope not only with his words in John 5 when he says, "For the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life," but also by the fact that he himself rose from the dead. And it's because Jesus Christ was risen from the dead that he was brought back to life, that we who believe in him hope to be resurrected as well. We have confidence that that which is laid in the grave will be taken up again and taken up in a glorious way, that our bodies which die will be given new life. Paul gives us a picture of what this is like in 1 Corinthians 15, further beyond the text which we read in verse 37. He compares the body which is laid in the grave with a grain of wheat or some other seed. And the grain of wheat dies and it rots in the ground, and yet it produces new life. Out of it comes a plant with the same identity as the grain. A grain of wheat, when planted, produces nothing other than wheat. G.I. Williamson explains this by saying, "We are to understand that when the body rots in the grave, everything that shows the evidence of sin in this present physical body will die forever. And yet out of the body which is buried will come the body which rises again." And this is what Paul says in verses 42 and 40 through 44 of chapter 15. "The body is sown in corruption, but it is raised in incorruption. It's sown in dishonor, but it's raised in glory. It's sown in weakness, but it's raised in power. It's sown a natural body, but it's raised a spiritual body." Now, in all of this, there are two major things that we need to see. Two main points to embrace by faith, two major points in which we have hope, and they are these. First, your resurrection body will be the same body. Your resurrection body will be the same body as to substance and identity. You will not be reincarnated as something else. You will not be reincarnated as someone else. You will be yourself. The grain of wheat produces wheat. Your human flesh will produce human flesh. You will have the same body. But secondly, your resurrection body, though your body, will be different as to its qualities and powers. It'll be greatly improved, as the full-grown wheat plant is far more glorious than the grain which produces it. Your resurrected body will be far more glorious than this weak, corruptible flesh buried in the ground. I mean, you are keenly aware of the corruption that sin has brought to your body, aren't you? You're keenly aware of the weakness of your physical frame, are you not? And this awareness grows as you get older, doesn't it? You feel it more. You see it more. Sin has ravaged our physical bodies. We experience pain. We get sick. We have seasonal allergies that prevent us from enjoying the beauty of the changing seasons. We are allergic to foods which we enjoy. Our knees deteriorate and need replaced. Our hearts don't work properly and our arteries become clogged. We develop infections. We experience chemical imbalances in our brains. Our backs get injured. Our thyroids go out of whack. Our bones get broken. Our ankles get sprained. Our eyesight begins to fade. Our blood pressure gets too high. We have sleep problems. We develop cancer and our bodies destroy themselves. Our bodies are weak, full of corruption. Do you not long for the day when you will not have that weakness anymore? Do you not long for the day when you will be free from such weakness and such corruption? Brothers and sisters, this is the hope that you have in the Lord Jesus Christ, that while your body is sown in corruption, it will be raised in incorruption. It's sown in dishonor, it'll be raised in glory. Sown in weakness, it'll be raised in power. At the resurrection, you'll be raised up in glory. And there shall be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain, because the former things will have passed away. All because of the Lord Jesus Christ. All because of his life, death, and resurrection from the dead. He was raised up in glory, and so too will you hope in the grace of Christ and the resurrection. Well, not only will your body be made whole and new, but because of the grace of Christ, you will be openly acknowledged and acquitted in the day of judgment. Immediately following the resurrection comes the day of judgment. John tells us in Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 and following, he says, "Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged each according to his works." Friends, on that great and dreadful day, both believer and unbeliever, righteous and wicked, will stand before God. You will stand before God. And you can imagine the horror of those who have rebelled against the Lord. Those who have cursed and blasphemed his name, as they are brought before the throne, they will stand there in terror with no hope, with no defense, no support or representative, utterly destitute of all comfort. And yet you who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be there too. You too will stand before that throne. But you will not cower in terror before the throne. Instead, you will be openly acknowledged by the Son of God. He will publicly declare that you belong to him, that you are his. He will confess to the Father that you are his because you've confessed him before men, as Jesus says in Matthew 10. What hope we have in Jesus Christ. When heaven and earth flee away and all lays open and bare before the judgment of God, Jesus says, "You are mine. You are mine." And Jesus shall not only openly acknowledge you, but you will be openly acquitted in that day. You will be openly declared righteous in the sight of all. Now, this is not some second justification, but it's a public declaration of your justified status, of what you already have in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, when you believed in Jesus, you were justified. The guilt of your sins were taken from you because your sins were taken from you, and it was all put to death in the Lord Jesus Christ. But you also received a righteous standing before God because of the righteous life of Jesus Christ. But friends, such a justification was a secret one. It was a hidden one from this world. The world cannot see it, though God declared you righteous when you believed in him. But on that great day of judgment, all heaven and earth will see. Every man and angel will know that you are guiltless before the throne of God and are in fact righteous, all because of Jesus Christ, whom you have received by faith alone. All will see this and know it to be true when Jesus says to you, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. What a glorious day that will be for you. All because of the grace of Jesus Christ. Hope in the grace of Jesus in the resurrection. Well, because of Jesus, you'll be raised up in glory. You'll be openly acknowledged and acquitted in the day of judgment. But that's not all. But because of Jesus, after the day of judgment, you'll be made perfectly blessed in the full enjoying of God to all eternity. Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. And when Adam and Eve were created, they not only glorified God in their sinless state, but they also enjoyed Him as well. They could walk with Him in the garden. They could speak with Him face to face. They could see the Lord and live. And yet after the fall, man was cast out of the garden, away from the presence of the Lord. After the fall, man has never since been able to see the Lord's face and live. Nor has he been able to experience the fullness of joy, of the joy of God without the taint of sin. And as believers, we have a small but incomplete taste of the joy we'll experience with the Lord. As Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, he says, "We now see as in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. I know in part, but then I shall know just as I am known." But friends, we only see in part. And yet John tells us in his first letter, chapter 3, that we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. We will once again be able to see the Lord face to face. We will see Him and live. We will have what theologians call the beatific vision, the seeing of the very face of God and having communicated to us the radiance of the Father's glory, the splendor of His love. We will experience the presence of our great God and Savior without the taint of sin, without any guilt, without any shame. How blessed an estate that will be, to have all of that guilt, all of that shame, all of that sin completely gone from you and be able to fully experience your God and Savior. And we will enjoy Him to the greatest possible degree. For the psalmist declares in Psalm 16, "In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." We cannot begin to fathom the depths of joy we will experience in the Lord's presence. But the psalmist says, fullness of joy. Fullness of joy. What's the most joyful experience you've ever had? As you think back over your life, all of the experiences that you have encountered in your life, what's the most joyous experience you've ever had? Well, such cannot compare to the joy of the Lord. For the joy we have in this life is always hindered by one thing or another. Circumstances, our own weak and frail bodies, fractured relationships, the brokenness of this world, and our own sin always sap away joy and delight from even our most joyous moments. But not so when you're with the Lord. Not so when all has been set right. Not so when you are with the one for whom you were created to be. For you shall have fullness of joy. And as Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 4, we shall be with the Lord always. Our great joy comes from being in the presence of God, being united to Him, and experiencing the infinite God. But I want you to consider the fact that you are just a finite creature, which means that you cannot see or experience all there is to see and experience of God all at one time. For the finite cannot take in all of the infinite, can it? Which means that all of our all-satisfying experience of His glory can never be completed, but must ever increase with intimacy and intensity forever and ever. There will always be more for a finite creature to know and enjoy of God. Your increasing pleasure in God will never come to an end, but will get better and better and better for all eternity, and all because of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. All because God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son to live a perfect, righteous life for those who believe in him, to die a wrath-satisfying sacrifice for the sins of those who trust in him, and to be raised from the dead for the justification of those who rest in him. All of your hope flows from the life, death, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. Brothers and sisters, you have been given so many great benefits in the Lord Jesus. You have so much to look forward to. You have so much to hope for. Because Jesus Christ was risen, you will be raised up in glory. You will be openly acknowledged and acquitted in the day of judgment. And you'll be made perfectly blessed in the full enjoying of God for all eternity. And so, brothers and sisters, hope in the grace of Jesus Christ in the resurrection. It's a hope, it's a sure hope that you have right now because Jesus is alive. Let's pray. Lord in heaven, we thank you so much for Jesus. We pray, Lord God, that you by your Spirit would fill our hearts with such a faith to see him, embrace him as he is, and find fullness of joy in him. Grant us that now. Grant us the full hope in him now. And let us walk in the beauty and light of that love and grace. Bless us today as we leave from this place. May we leave with joy in our hearts and live as those who have been redeemed by a risen Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen.